Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of research and distill it into the crucial insights you need. Today, we're diving headfirst into something that seems, well, on the surface, utterly chaotic. Randomness. We all encounter it daily, right? Shuffling a deck of cards, waiting for that perfect song on shuffle, maybe just the order of emails. But what if that seemingly unpredictable world of chance held, I don't know, a secret order, revealing profound connections to other seemingly unrelated mathematical universes? Okay, let's unpack this. This deep dive is all about a truly fascinating discovery. It links a surprisingly intuitive idea of finding the longest increasing subsequence within a random list of numbers to, well, a really sophisticated distribution, one that first emerged from the highly abstract realm of random matrix theory. It's like finding a secret tunnel, you know? Between two distant mathematical landscapes. Our journey begins back in the 1960s with a problem posed by the brilliant Polish mathematician Stanisław Ulam. Imagine you have a simple list of numbers, say 1 through 5, completely jumbled up, a random reordering, which mathematicians call a permutation. Ulam's problem asks, if you pick out the longest possible sequence of numbers that are in strictly increasing order from that original jumbled list, how long would that sequence typically be? Let's use a quick example just to make this concrete. From our source paper, say n is 5 and the permutation is 5, 1, 3, 2, 4. Okay, what's the longest increasing subsequence you can find? Well, you could pick 1, 2, 4. Or 1, 3, 4.
Right, or 1, 3, 4. Both have a length of 3. Yep. So in this specific case, the length of the longest increasing subsequence, which we'll call ln, is 3. It sounds like a simple puzzle, doesn't it? But the answer and what it led to is, well, it's anything but simple.
Yeah. What makes this problem so captivating is how it transforms. It starts as this seemingly innocent combinatorial game and becomes a doorway to a profound universal law, one that links vastly different areas of mathematics. Our mission in this deep dive is really to guide you through this surprising journey, show you not just what was found, but why it's so significant, and you know how these abstract ideas actually reveal hidden structures in the very fabric of randomness itself.
So we're talking about ln, the length of the longest increasing subsequence.
Mm-hmm.
When you're picking numbers from a permutation like 5, 1, 3, 2, 4, you're essentially looking for a subset of numbers where each one appears after the previous one in the original list,
mm-hmm.
and is also larger than the previous one. And you want the longest one possible. That's exactly it. It's about finding that hidden ordered thread within the chaos. Ulam's initial intuition, based on early Monte Carlo simulations, basically running computational experiments lots and lots of times, was that the average length of this longest increasing subsequence when you scale it by the square root of n.
So in n, the total number of items.
Right, sin.
Yeah.
He thought it would approach a constant value, c, as n got really, really large. He believed there was a predictable trend there.
So his hunch was that ln grows roughly with enon. And early on, mathematicians like Erdos and Sekeres, they provided some important bounds, right?
They did. They confirmed it grew at least as fast as 12n, so that part checked out.
Then more numerical work came along, late 60s.
Yeah, by Baron Brock. And their work strongly suggested that Ulam's constant c was actually 2. So the average length was looking like 2n. Yes, the early numerical evidence was pretty compelling. Then came the rigorous proofs. In 1972, Hammersley mathematically confirmed that such a constant limit did exist. And remarkably, the exact value of C as 2 was definitively proven, almost simultaneously and independently, by two separate groups.
Wow, at the same time.
Pretty much. Logan and Shep and Vershik and Karoff.
Mm-hmm.
So the question of the average length was settled. It scales as 2 ln.
That's a significant milestone for sure. Knowing the average growth rate for ln, that's a huge step. But for you, the listener, is that the whole story? I mean, if the average length for a million item list is, say, 2,000, does that mean every list of a million items will have an alias very close to 2,000? Or could the lengths, you know, vary wildly around that average? What about the spread?
That's precisely the next deeper question.
Yeah.
Exactly. The average tells us where the center is, right? But the spread, or variance, tells us how tightly those lengths cluster around that center. Later Monte Carlo simulations, especially by Odlizko and Rain starting around 1993, went beyond the average. They looked at this variance, and they made a truly surprising discovery. The variance of ln, var, ln didn't scale like n12 or n or anything simple like that. Instead, it scaled by n13, and it approached a constant CR that you estimated at about 0.819.
And to the one-third, that's
100. And it gets even more specific. They also found a higher order correction for the average itself. The difference between the actual average length and that 2 Orion value, when divided by n16, approaches another constant, c1,
okay,
which is about minus 1.758. these numbers, N13 for variance, N16 for the mean correction, and these specific decimal values. They were an enormous clue. They really hinted that the distribution of LIS lengths wasn't just a simple bell curve. It was something far more unique and, well, at the time, completely unexpected from this kind of problem.
Okay, so here's where it gets truly mind-bending. Our source paper, by Gino Bick, Percy Dieft, and Kurt Johansson, delivered the definitive proof in 1999. They rigorously demonstrated that if you take the length of the longest increasing subsequence, subtract that 2n average, and then divide by n16, those exact scalings Odlisko and Raines had hinted at the resulting distribution for a very large n. It's not a normal bell curve at all. Instead, it converges to something profoundly different. The Tracy-Wyndham distribution.
This was just a seismic aha moment in probability theory and combinatorics. The Tracy-Wyndham distribution, FT, it's a very specific, complex mathematical function. It's defined through a nonlinear differential equation, known as the Payne-Lehtiou equation, and the Airy function is involved too. What's crucial to understand here is that Payne-Lehtiou equations, they're a type of highly nonlinear equation that describe very specific, sometimes chaotic, behaviors in physical systems. And for this exact distribution to just pop out of a problem about simple random permutations, that was a massive surprise. It just didn't seem to belong there.
And the precision is just stunning, isn't it? When you numerically solve that Payne-Lehtiou equation to predict the variance and the higher order mean, the numbers match those earlier Monte Carlo simulations from Odlisko and Raines to incredible accuracy.
Exactly. We're talking 0.8132 for C0 and -1.771 on for C1.
Wow.
It's not just, you know, roughly similar. It's a precise numerical alignment. It absolutely validates this theoretical breakthrough.
Okay. Okay.
And here's the really critical piece of the puzzle. The Tracy-Wyndham distribution, FT, it first emerged in an entirely different, seemingly unrelated field, the study of random matrix theory. Specifically, it describes the statistical behavior of the largest eigenvalue of a very large random matrix from what's called a Gaussian unitary ensemble, or GUE.
GUE matrices, aren't those used in physics, like quantum mechanics?
Precisely. They're special kinds of matrices where the entries are random complex numbers, often used in quantum mechanics to model the energy levels of atomic nuclei.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It means that for large n, the seemingly chaotic lengths of longest increasing subsequences in random permutations, they behave statistically exactly like the largest eigenvalue of a giant random matrix.
Mm-hmm.
It's like discovering that two completely different symphonies, one about card shuffling, the other about complex quantum energy states, share the same exact intricate melody. It's a deeply elegant and utterly unexpected universal connection.
Yeah, this unifying connection. It's often explained through a powerful mathematical tool called the Robinson-Chinstead correspondence.
Yeah.
Think of it as a kind of special decoder or a translator.
A translator.
Yeah, it links any given permutation directly to a unique pair of mathematical structures called Young Tableau. And here's the crucial part for our story. The number of boxes in the first row of these Young Tableau is precisely our LN, the length of the longest increasing subsequence. So if LN follows the Tracy-Wyndham distribution, then the length of the first row of a Young Tableau also follows it.
That's a clever bridge, a really neat connection. But if the length of the first row behaves like the largest eigenvalue of a random matrix, that makes me intensely curious. What about the other rows of the Young Tableau? Do they also have some hidden life in the world of random matrices? Is this more than just a one-off connection?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
And yes, it's where the story gets even richer. Further Monte Carlo simulations, again by Odlisko and Raines, suggested that the number of boxes in the second row of these Young Tableau also behaves statistically like the second largest eigenvalue of a random GUE matrix.
No way. Really?
Yeah. And again, the simulated numbers for their mean and variance aligned perfectly with theoretical predictions from GUE matrix theory.
So it's not just the largest eigenvalue mirrored in permutations, but the second largest too, and presumably the third, fourth, the whole spectrum.
Precisely. That's the implication. This connection has been rigorously proven for the second row. And beautiful work by mathematician Andre Okunkov has provided an elegant and comprehensive framework for understanding these deep relationships across all the rows.
That's truly remarkable.
It really is. This isn't just some quirky mathematical coincidence. It points to profound underlying universal principles. Principles about how randomness manifests across fundamentally different systems. Mm-hmm. Whether you're arranging numbers in a simple combinatorial problem or, you know, delving into the complex quantum mechanics of atomic nuclei where, as I mentioned, GUE matrices are actually applied.
To model energy levels.
Exactly. Similar, specific statistical patterns emerge. It suggests a kind of fundamental shared language for describing uncertainty and chaos.
Now, the mathematical details of how Bake, Dieft, and Johansson actually prove this, I imagine they're incredibly intricate.
Oh, absolutely. It's truly graduate-level math. But we can maybe take a quick peek behind the curtain at the ingenious strategy they used.
Yeah, let's try. How did they bridge these seemingly disparate worlds?
Well, their high-level approach involved a series of clever transformations. First, they poisonized the problem.
Poisonized.
Yeah, it essentially means they converted the discrete counting problem of permutations into a related, more continuous process involving random points in a plane. This shift allowed them to represent the problem using something called a Toeplitz determinant.
Okay.
Think of it as changing the mathematical lens you're using to view the problem. It lets you bring a whole new set of powerful tools to bear.
Right. And these Toeplitz determinants, they connect to something else.
They do. Here's the really powerful part. They are intimately connected to Riemann-Hilbert problems, or RHPs. These are problems in complex analysis. They involve matrices with specific jump conditions across certain contours in the complex plane.
Okay, that sounds complicated, like navigating a math landscape where you have to make precise leaps.
That's a decent analogy. And the authors used a highly sophisticated technique called the steepest descent method for solving these RHPs, a method pioneered by Dieft and Zhou. It's like a mathematical GPS, incredibly good at finding the hidden asymptotic behavior of systems when parameters get very large.
Even in really complex, maybe chaotic situations.
Especially then. It's within the very construction of the approximate solutions for these Riemann-Hilbert problems. That's where the Painlevitter 2 equation, and therefore the Tracy-Wyndham distribution, naturally and inevitably emerge. Wow. So the entire machinery of modern complex analysis, differential equations, asymptotic methods, it becomes this elegant, albeit complex, bridge. A bridge between the simple combinatorial problem of increasing subsequences and the profound universal behavior found in random matrices.
So the elegance isn't just in the groundbreaking answer itself, but in how all these seemingly separate mathematical tools, random permutations, Toeplitz determinants, complex analysis, nonlinear differential equations, random matrices, how they all converged to reveal a single beautiful truth about the nature of randomness. It's a testament to the unexpected interconnectedness of all mathematics, really. Today, we embarked on a fascinating journey. From Ulam's simple problem about longest increasing subsequences in random permutations, through the surprising emergence of the Tracy-Wyndham distribution, and its profound, totally unexpected connection to the largest eigenvalues of random matrices, it's a truly compelling story of finding deep order within apparent chaos.
Yeah, this deep dive powerfully illustrates the immense reach and insight of abstract mathematics by carefully stripping away the superficial differences between problems, focusing on their underlying structural similarities. We can uncover these universal laws that govern phenomena in vastly different domains, from combinatorial structures like shuffling numbers to the complex quantum systems that govern atomic nuclei. These fundamental mathematical insights, they truly cut across disciplines.
This journey from shuffled numbers to giant matrices, it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What other hidden universal statistical patterns are out there, quietly linking phenomena we currently consider entirely separate? What other unrelated fields are governed by the same deep, elegant mathematical melodies? Perhaps the next great discovery is waiting in an unexpected connection you might make. Thanks for diving deep with us.